So for my own benefit, I would just like to start with a word of prayer so that we can kind of focus in on this time together. Dear God, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you will calm me right now and that you will open up our hearts to the message that you've prepared for us today. And Lord, I just pray that you will help me to be a vessel for you right now, that you will be glorified and that your name will be known today. By my words and by looking at your scripture. In your name we pray. Amen. So, as you know, our fearless leader is in Hawaii. He is having a good time, as we've all been able to see from Facebook. Beautiful scenery. He went parasailing yesterday. He went scuba diving. That's actually my favorite picture that I've seen so far of them. I love that picture. So just continue to pray for them, though, and ask that God continue to just to bless them, their time together, and that Glenn can and Joe both can get some rest. They've been very busy, though, so I think they're going to be coming back and wanting to get some rest. So today I want to talk to you about influences. One of the things about Facebook that I really enjoy is that it reminds you of things that you've said in the past. And that's not always good, is it? But a few years back, I had posted this comment on Facebook. It says, "This morning, God reminded me of the many blessings that I have had in my life along the way. Friends and influences that took time for me when it mattered the most. God used those peoples at a critical points in my life to keep me on track. How can I be there for somebody today? Has someone influenced your life? Take a minute and let them know how much they mean to you and thank them for making a difference." So I had planned to just give my testimony and just share a little bit about me, knowing that I was going to be preaching, and then this popped back up. And I thought, you know, God really laid on my heart that I needed to talk about influences today. So that's what our topic is about, is influences. So how does a guy from Indiana end up in Seattle at Fairview? I have to be honest, 7 months ago, this was not even on my radar being here. I was just doing my life, having fun. You know, I don't know if I was having fun. Dinah would kind of maybe disagree with me on that. I had been back in the classroom for a few years and just, you know, doing that, enjoying being in the lives of my kids. But I, you know, coming 7 months forward, I'm honored to be here today and to be the new school administrator of Fairview, and I'm so excited to get the school year going. But I wanted to share, first of all, some of my testimony. So, believe it or not, I was cute at one time. That's back in the day when they had metal high chairs, you know, before they did all the things. So, but April 1980, was the day that I accepted Christ into my life. And I will tell you that the road to that very juncture where I accepted him into my life was not an easy road. It was a road where my mom and dad were divorced right before I was born. I was put into a foster home. I spent a couple years in a foster home while my mom got her life together. And then she remarried, and I ended up having a stepdad. So I was bounced back and forth between two worlds, and being little, that was very difficult for me to process. But God knew that I needed some stability in my life, and when I went to in third grade, I went to started at Heritage Christian School in Indianapolis, and I went there from third grade to 12th grade, and God knew that I needed that stability in my life, and I needed those influences in my life, and I praise him for that experience, and it forever changed me to where I am today. Really quickly, I want to share with you probably one of the biggest influences in my growing up was my grandmother, Myra Fern Cassidy. And if you know, my oldest daughter's name Myra, we named Myra after her. But she was just a stronghold in my life and somebody that's very special to me in my memories. She passed away in 2003, and it was a big hole in my heart. But she was somebody that was really just a major influence in my life that I praise God for every day. a couple of other influences in my life. Is Chuck, he's my best friend, and his mom, Mary Ann. And growing up, I would always go over to their house. We would go to church together at Church of the Crossing, and they were just very influential. And in fact, when my mother passed away in 2004, Mary Ann has really filled a void in my life. And she was one of the people that we had to go see before we came, you know, before we made our journey out here. And so I wanted to share with them. And then the last person I wanted to share with is a guy by the name of Al Leinbach. And he was my school administrator at Heritage. He knew me from third grade all the way to 12th grade and was a very, very influential person in my life to the point where when I was deciding whether or not to come here to be the leader of this school, he was one of my spiritual guidance or my counselors that I even reached back out to and talked to him. So his influence in my life is still there today. And I will tell you that he's very proud of the fact that I'm here and I'm able to give back to my roots in Christian education and to see that full circle come in my life. So that's a little bit about my testimony. As I've told you, my mother passed away, my grandmother passed away, my father's passed away. And in those end-of-life experiences, I realized that the frailty of life, but I also realized the influence that God has. And I was able to be there for them during that time, and those are experiences that are very special to me as I was able to grow up. But I remember growing up, I remember praying to God, saying, God, when I was going through my youth, I want a family, a normal family, whatever that is, right? And I prayed to God. I remember as a little kid praying to God that I would not have, that I could experience life and have some stability to my life. So that brings me to my beautiful wife over here. You choke me up. Not crack me up, she chokes me up. We've been married 24 years, and she follows me through all my craziness. I just thank God for her. But she is a huge, huge answer to a prayer of a little kid. And then, of course, we have four beautiful kids. Preston, who's back in Indiana. And we have our beautiful Myra, who's going to be a senior this year. And we have our Ruby and Simon. So again, I'm living proof that God does bless us and that God does answer our prayers even when we're little. And So now that I've shared some of the influences of my life, I want to kind of get to the point of what God has laid on my heart to share with you today. And I want to introduce you to a lady by the name of Mama Heidi. And if you've not seen, there's a movie called Mama Heidi, and if you've not seen that movie, I would encourage you to watch it because it's a story about Roland and Heidi, and they are missionaries in Mozambique, and they adopted this old orphanage. And it's very powerful how they have just invested their lives into these people. And they are a huge influence in the lives of just kids that don't have parents and just so many incredible different stories. So I would encourage you to watch that. And we're going to come back to Mama Heidi because she's going to have a very poignant point that I want to kind of wrap everything up with at the end. But one thing that she came up with, she says, every person was created with a desire to make a difference. Every single person, whether you're a Christian or not, you want to make a difference in the world. And that's something that is just part of who we are. In one of her books, she said this. She goes, I believe that Jesus would have given his life for just one person. Jesus emptied himself and he humbled himself so that he could be yielded himself to his Father's love, that he had no ambition of his own. He was not looking to build an empire. He didn't want praise or adulation or to impress people with who or how many people followed him. He stopped over and over again for one person, for just one life. So today's text. This is, anybody know what this picture is? Sort of a little test.
It's a Rorschach ink blot.
It's not a Rorschach ink blot. Actually, it's a picture of Jesus is in the corner over here. And then Zacchaeus is up in the tree. So Zacchaeus is who we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to be looking at how we can make a difference. So our text today is in Luke. It's in Luke 19, 1 through 9. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him and Jesus, since Jesus was coming his way. When he reached the spot, he looked up and said, when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up into the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Well, all the people around saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. They were offended by that. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated you out of anything, if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. And the other verse that I want to share before I get into our lesson today is our theme verse for this year. And it's found in Matthew 13 through 16. Where we're going to focus in on, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So when we're discussing influences, I believe the key to understanding this is to examine and then model our lives after the one who made it the greatest influence in history, Jesus Christ. He's our example. Jesus, his impact was undeniable. If we want to make a difference, we should model our lives after him. The text that we read in Luke 19 is an excellent example of how Jesus approached ministry. First of all, the first observation is that Jesus was involved with people. And if you take the time to look back in Luke 18, right before then, you'll see some great examples of how Jesus was involved in people's lives. The disciples in Luke 18:15 brought children to him so that they could be blessed and have interaction with him. In Luke 18:35 is the story about the beggar and how Jesus healed him and helped him be able to see. So Jesus is our great example. He wants us to make a difference in the lives of our neighbors. He wants you to make a difference in the lives of your family. He wants you to make a difference in the lives of your work associates. So here's a quick lesson on influences. There was an email that went around, and it gave two sets of questions. One set of the questions says, name five of the wealthiest people in the world. Name the last five Heisman Trophy winners. Name the last five winners of the Miss America contest. Name 10 people who won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prize. Name the last half dozen Academy Award winners for actor and actress. And name the last 10 World Series winners. I couldn't name any of them. If any of you can, I would be totally amazed. The email went on and said, this is the second set. List a few teachers who aided you through your journey through school. Name three friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Name five people who have taught you something. Think of a few people who made you feel appreciated and special. Think of five people that you enjoy spending time with. Name six heroes whose stories have inspired you. Which set's easier to answer? The second one, right? That second one is, every single one of you could relate to at least to one of those questions, and probably every one of them as I read them to you. So the point here is that the people who have made a difference in your life are not the ones with the most credentials. They're not the ones with the most money or the most awards. They're the ones that care. They're the ones who have been involved in your life. That's one of our key points today. Jesus made a difference by being involved in the people's lives and so I have an important question. How did he do that? He got out among the people. I'm going to show you a real quick video clip that kind of makes the main text today of Luke and there in Luke come alive. And I'm going to rely on my handy dandy assistant over here to play this for us.
God's story, Zacchaeus. So part of God's story is about Zacchaeus, and it begins like this. Once there was a man named Zacchaeus, let's call him Zac, who lived in a town called Jericho. He was short, and he didn't have many friends. In fact, most people hated Zach. That's because he worked as a tax collector. See, back then, people paid taxes, just like now. But instead of sending money to the government, there were men in every city whose job was taking tax money from people. Problem is, those men usually lied. Zach, like most, took a lot of extra money from a lot of people. And all those people hated him. Anyway, one day, Jesus came to Zach's town, and Zach wanted to see him. But so did everybody else. And remember how Zach was really short? Well, he couldn't see Jesus over everybody else's head. So guess what he did? He actually climbed up into a tree to look out over everybody. Now, imagine a grown man climbing up in a tree in the middle of a crowd. People probably thought he was crazy or weird. But Zach was willing to look weird if it meant getting closer to Jesus. From up in the tree, Zach watched as Jesus walked up. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." This was kind of like a famous person inviting themselves over, except way better. This invitation would change Zach's life. Zach scrambled down the tree to take Jesus to his house. Maybe he thought Jesus didn't know about all the money he had taken or how everybody hated him. But Jesus did know, and he loved Zach anyways. Other people saw this and they were mad. They said, "Jesus has gone into the house of a sinner." They wondered how Jesus could love somebody who had lied and stole their money. The great thing is, Jesus loves all of us, even after we've done things we deserve to get in trouble for, or even after we actually get in trouble. When we see that Jesus loves us anyway, it makes us want to show that kind of love to others. At least that's what happened to Zach. Right away, he wanted to make things right with the people he had hurt. He knew that just saying, "I'm sorry," wasn't enough. So he told Jesus, "I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. And anyone I cheated, I will pay back 4 times the amount of money I took." Whoa. When Jesus saw that Zach was willing to accept his love and turn around and show it to others, he said, "My friend, today God has rescued you." And even though Zach had been a liar and a thief who was hated by everyone, he became a friend of Jesus and a part of God's family that very day. And that's the story of Zacchaeus. So, in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Zach was short. He was a tax collector. He stole money. People hated him. Jesus came to town. Zach couldn't see him. He climbed a tree. Jesus told him to come down. Jesus went to his house. Jesus loved Zach. Others were mad. Zach made things right. He became a part of God's family. And that's a part of God's story.
The teacher in me, right? So how can we apply this? We need to be involved. It's been noted that the longer we stay in church, the fewer non-church friendships that we develop. That's a natural process unless we fight against it. If we're going to make a difference in our world, we need to intentionally be out among the people to truly make a difference in our community. How can you be involved and get out among the people? Well, you can have a block party, which we're going to get to in just a second. You can give your neighbor a gift basket. You can find someone who's moving into a new house and carry them a gift. And I wasn't thinking of me when I said that, so just so you know. You can have a barbecue and invite all of your neighbors. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Matthew. And what amazes me about Matthew is that when he first met Jesus, he was so excited. What did he do? He went and he had a party and he invited Jesus to be the main host or the main person to come and so everybody could meet Jesus. And what a powerful testimony that Matthew has that we should be doing. Jesus got out among the people, but he also cared for people. When Jesus came to Jericho, he looked up into the tree and saw Zacchaeus. Now that point sounds really simple, but look at it this way. Many times we're involved in a crowd, and all we see are the people. We don't see the one person. And that's what Jesus is teaching us, is that we need to see that one person that's in the crowd. One of my biggest pet peeves is how we treat guests in our church when they come. And I want to make a shout out to Marilyn. As you know, we go out to Maple Leaf on Fridays. And Marilyn is one of the ladies that helps us with the service. And she came and wanted to visit our church today. And I'm so glad that you're here. And it means a lot that you're seeing our church firsthand. We appreciate you being here today. And I didn't know she was going to be here today, but that's one of my pet peeves, is that we treat visitors like visitors when we should be treating them like guests. We should be showing them the love of Jesus instead of saying, oh, hi, welcome, and not taking a vested interest in them. So how can we apply this at Fairview? Well, on September 15th, we're having our block party. And I'm encouraging every single person in here to join us on that day. But what I'm also going to challenge you to do is to be there for somebody. Find somebody who you've never seen before or never met and make it a point to get to know them. Be personable with them. Reach out to them and be God to them. Don't just hang around your friends and have a good time. While that's all fun and dandy, it's an outreach for our church. And we need to be looking for those people and reaching out to them and being God's voice. Weird example, Thomas Jefferson. But I read this really an interesting story. I read about an incident that occurred while Thomas Jefferson was Vice President of the United States. One night, Jefferson went to a prestigious hotel in Baltimore, but he was dressed like a farmer. The manager of the hotel thought that Jefferson's appearance would discredit his hotel, so he turned Jefferson away, and not knowing who he was at the time. Later that evening, the hotel manager discovered that he had turned away Thomas Jefferson, then the Vice President of the United States. Immediately, he sent a note to the famed patriot, asking him to come back and to be his guest. You know what Jefferson said to him? Tell him I've already engaged in a room. I value his good intentions highly, but if he has no place for a dirty American farmer, he has none for the Vice President of the United States. There's a good lesson there, isn't there? Think about our influence. Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. To me, one of the greatest examples of that is, if you want to influence people, you have to show a genuine interest in them. And I always say to teachers, when I was an administrator, the kids are not going to care about what you teach them until they know that you care about them. You have to build that rapport with them. So I do practice that even in my profession. But friends, people are looking for a person who will be genuinely interested and care for them. Everybody craves that. So continuing my influences. This year, I'm going to be starting my 30th year in education. I don't feel that old. I'm just 51 years old. As I told you, I started out at Heritage Christian, and then I graduated from there, and I went to Anderson University, and I started right at 22. I got my very first job in Pendleton, Indiana, and I calculated while I was preparing this that during the 14 years that I was there, I had over 1,000 students that went through my classroom. That boggled my mind, because I'm thinking there was no way. But I tell you, that's another thing I love about Facebook, is that it allows you to stay in touch with my former students, and to see them grow up and have families of their own. That means a lot to me. I went to Butler and earned my master's in school administration. And then the next 12 years, I was an administrator. And it got to the point where I was in Michigan City, and I was a Title I director, and I was in this little office, and I was miserable. You can ask Diana. I was not happy, because I wasn't around people. I needed to be around people. I needed to be around kids. So after being there and being, climbing the corporate ladder, I asked them. I said, I want to go back into the classroom. I need to be with the kids. And so the last 4 years, that's where I've been. I've been back with the kids, making a difference. And Michigan City is a very high poverty area. That's why I spent 30 years in the public schools, because I knew that these kids needed a positive male role model in their lives. And so that's been my mission field for the last 30 years before I came here to give back to my Christian roots. So there's some pictures. I've had my head shaved before. I do about any crazy thing. Kissed pigs. I do love being involved in schools, that has been a great blessing that God has given to me. And I know that I've been able to be a positive influence to the lives of many students. So, second point, Jesus got involved. He led an intentional life. He did not travel haphazardly. He traveled with a purpose. He did not meet people haphazardly. So there's a guy by the name of Larry Gilbert, and he has an interesting concept called stair-stepping. Stair-stepping is the intentional process of helping another person find God. That concept is simple. Everybody you meet is somewhere between zero, who don't even know God, and then 10 who have a very good, solid relationship with God. But in our text today, we see that Jesus intentionally stair-stepped Zacchaeus to God. He did this by three things. He earned his respect. He cultivated a relationship with Zacchaeus, and then Jesus led him to a response. And you can, if you think back, you can see that. So talking about influences, this is Desmond Tutu, and you're thinking, why in the world would you even be talking about Desmond Tutu? But I read this about Desmond Tutu that just really hits home about influences. The African bishop, Desmond Tutu, was once asked why he became an Anglican rather than joining some other denomination. He replied, in the days of apartheid, when a black person and a white person met together on a footpath, the black person was expected to step aside and allow the white person to pass and nod their head in a gesture of respect. One day, Tutu says, when he was just a little boy, my mother and I were walking down the street when a tall white man dressed in a black suit came toward us. Before my mother could step off the sidewalk as was expected of us, this man stepped off the sidewalk, and as my mother and I passed, he tipped his hat in a gesture to us out of respect. I was more than surprised at what had happened, and I asked my mother this question. Why did the white man do that? My mother explained, he is an Anglican priest. He is a man of God, and that's why he did it. And when she told me that he was an Anglican priest, I decided then and there that's what he wanted to do with his life. And what's more, he wanted to be a man of God. Now think about that one influence, that one encounter, and how that changed South Africa and the apartheid. Talk about a powerful influence. So Jesus cultivated a relationship despite those barriers with Zacchaeus. There was a distance barrier. Zacchaeus was up in a tree. There was an alienation barrier. Zacchaeus felt condemned by other people. There was a guilt barrier because Zacchaeus felt that he felt guilty for his past and how he treated people. And then the third thing is that he led Zacchaeus to a response. And we know that he gave back four times to the people that they stole for. So my last point is that Jesus was committed to his mission. Sometimes, as churches, we get our priorities out of whack. We get hung up on the institution. We get caught up in the bills and the budgets, and we lose sight of the most important thing, which are people and being an influence for God. We get hung up on preferences to the music and the schedules. You get the idea. Jesus was motivated by a purpose. Jesus' commitment to his purpose was more important than his tradition. He didn't care what tradition said about Zacchaeus, that he was a sinner and that people were offended because he went to his house. Jesus' commitment to the purpose was more important than people's opinions. He didn't care what they thought about him when he went to Zacchaeus' house. And Jesus' commitment to his purpose was more important than his own comfort. He took the time to love Zacchaeus. So in closing, I want to share that verse back with you, the school verse that we have this year. You are a light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So the big point that I'm making today is that it starts with one person. It doesn't need to be overwhelming. Find a person that God has brought into your life and make a difference in that person's life. And you know what? God modeled this for us. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one son. One God gave one son to you, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. God modeled the one for us right there. Is that amazing? He sent his only son for us. and look at the difference and the influence that it has on our lives today as Christians. So I started my sermon with Mama Heidi, and I'm going to end with a clip, and then we're going to kind of wrap everything up here. But remember her quote about that it's in every one of us, we want to make a it's natural for us to want to make a difference in the world, and we need to act on that. And we need to, as Christians, we need to act on it in a godly way. So I'm going to watch this video, and I'm going to have my handy-dandy assistant over here.
Do you know that Jesus is good? Do you know that Jesus is good? He's good. He's good. Do you know that Jesus is good?
I had a vision. I had a vision that changed my life, and I'll never be the same. I saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of children, and I thought, I don't want to see this. And I started screaming out loud, no, no. And then Jesus showed up. He looked at me with those eyes of love, those burning, shandai, burning, passionate, fiery eyes of love, just like, and he looked at me and everything just changed. He looked at me and he said, there's always enough because I died. There's always enough because I died. This little girl taught me what love looks like. She taught me what love and mercy looks like. I know what this little girl does. You know, she has to sell her body, her one-legged body, to eat. She sells her one-legged body to get a piece of bread. She sells her one-legged body, her one-legged 10-year-old body, to drink a Coca-Cola. You know, this is like, somebody stop for one. Somebody, you know, this little girl is suffering out here. Like, the pain in her was incredible. And grandmother's a witch doctor. So when the house burned down and her leg burned off, grandmother said to the two older brothers, go out to the field and kill Helena. Kill her. Stone her, because she's of no use to us. She's no value to us. She has no leg. So the brothers go out to the field and they throw rocks at her head and they think that she's dead. They think she's dead, but she's not. And she's lying there, bloody, broken, dying. This is so much. It's so clear. You can read the gospel and you can read it. And if you just talk to people, and you don't understand that love looks like something, and you just say to Elena, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. What a cruddy mess of a life you have. And you don't say to her, come home and live with me. Then love is it. I don't know what love is if it doesn't look like something. And one day, after a while, she just looks at me and she goes, Mama, I want to go home. And I thought, no way. My first reaction was, no way. No way. No. I just said, no, no. You're not going back to that home. That's the most dysfunctional family that I've ever heard of, and I know a few. You know, it's like, that one, no. And she said, what do you mean? Do you think you told me about grace? She said, you said Jesus forgives. You said Jesus loves. You said Jesus loves. You said love looks like something. You said mercy. She said, how can I not go home and tell my family about Jesus? How can I not go home and tell them about love? I just pray for radical love to just rock this generation, God. I ask you for love to just come in and stretch every heart, God. Show them what love looks like, God. Show them what love looks like, God. That they would just go out to the darkest places. They would go to the brothels. They would go to the drug dens. They would go to the streets. They would go to the villages. They would go to the universities, and they would stop for the one. And they would stop for the one every single day of their life. It's not complicated. It's just stop for the one.
I'm going to say it once again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have ever eternal life. It starts with one, and we have to continue the work of Jesus by doing the same. How can you find that one? Earn their respect, cultivate a relationship with them, and lead them to make a response. Those 3 points from today. So my challenge to you this week is find a person that God has put in your life and make a difference for that one person. It starts with you. It's not complicated. We have to put aside our political agendas. We have to put aside what we think we need to tell people or what we think we need to do, and we need to focus on God. We need to focus on that one person that he puts in our lives so that we continue to make a difference for him. That's why we're here. And that's every ounce. I believe that with every ounce of my being. So that's my challenge for you today. And if I can have the worship team come back up. I just want to lead you in prayer. And then we have a couple of songs that we're going to end. We're going to end with a really fun song. But just join me in prayer, please. Dear God, thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you so much for the message that you have given to us today, that we can make a difference in this world. And it's not complicated by any means. We have to start with ourselves and the way that we look at the world and the way that we approach people. Lord, bring people into our lives and make it known to us that these are the people that we need to reach out to, that we need to show them your love so that this can spread like wildfire. Thank you, God. Thank you for the personal influence that you have been in my life for these 51 years. Thank you, God, for the influence that you have been in this church and in this ministry. And God, we want to glorify you and we want to honor you in all that we do and we say. Thank you for this time today. We give the honor and the glory and the praise for that.
Would you stand with us?
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing. Show your face.
Guys, stomp your feet like that, and let's clap together. That's it. Quiet with me now.
Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Hey friends, did you like that video? Yeah, you did. Why don't you check out some more right here?
Go ahead, check it out. That was fun. That was worth waiting for. See all of that? Well, thanks for being here today. Hopefully you got a worship folder when you came in. There's a couple of announcements there. I just want to highlight a couple. The first is they're still looking for folks who want to sign up for the pastor's class. You can email Sheila in the office there or call the office. It's going to start in the beginning of September, and you can read more about it in the worship folder if you'd like to. Then there's going to be a town hall meeting on August 29th at 6 p.m. in the auditorium. Pastor Kent and Lori are going to share the plan for the school year. And so if you want to come and be a part of that, just to maybe make some friends, that's the 29th of August. I don't know what day of the week that is. It's a Tuesday, 6 o'clock. So come, meet some people, I suppose, right? And the last one that I just want to mention is September 15th, block party. Start getting ready to be a part of that in whatever way. I'm sure they're going to want some volunteers and some help, so if you want to join in that, but just plan on being here and enjoying people as well. Go in peace today and have a wonderful day in God. Oh, yes, Lauren? Oh, wow. That's at the Thai Siam. 83rd
and 15th Northwest.
83rd and 15th Northwest.
$20 and you get the best meal.
Huh. Well, there was an article yesterday about Union Gospel Mission not meeting their fundraising goals, and they're going to have to let go of a bunch of people and stop programs. So it sounds like something worthwhile to help out. All right. Thank you for sharing that with us. I didn't know about that. Yes. Boy, if I knew more about it, I would tell you. I could tell you about previous ones. It's usually in the afternoon. Yeah, I thought it was a little earlier than that, but see, it's changed over time. So we've had bands in the past. We've had fun houses and food, and I think we've even had a movie. And there might be a movie this year. There's a movie this year. So it's a... There'll be more information coming, yeah. So I don't know the details of this year's yet, but it's usually a fun party in the evening. Yeah. All right. Go in peace today.